God. I've got the joy of the Lord way down on the inside of me. Amen. To God be the glory. God is good and worthy to be praised. God bless you. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and we welcome you to the Woman to Woman to Man show. I tell you, we're going to have a phenomenal time on today, and we thank God for you taking time out of your busy day to join us as we discuss today's topic. What's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with it? But before we get into today's topic, we want to take time again to say hello to everyone. We want to say happy Mother's Day on this Mother's Day weekend. We want to say, if you are celebrating this day, that we pray that God will bless you mightily. If you are a mother, we pray that God will bless you mightily on today as we take time out in America to celebrate mothers everywhere. It's a phenomenal thing when God blesses you to bring birth into this earth. And some of us haven't given birth through our natural womb, but some of us have given birth through our spiritual womb. And some of us have given birth by way of adoption, my God, by way of mentoring, by way of being that missing parent in the life of a child, in the life of a boy or a girl. So if you have stood in the gap as a godmother, as an aunt, as a spiritual mother, even as a first lady of a church, we want to say to you, happy Mother's Day to all of you, to those of you who have adopted children, for those of you who have lost children and your children are no longer in the land of the living. We want to say to you, happy Mother's Day, a blessed day to you. When we say happy Mother's Day, we mean blessed, that God will bless you above what you can think, ask, or imagine for your sacrifice today. So we say, God bless you today. And again, do something special for yourself this weekend. You know, go ahead and get your hair done, get your nails done. Go ahead and have some a nice dinner. You know, go ahead and do something that will edify you. Edify yourself on today. Give and pour into you. This is a day that you want to pour into yourself. You know, and some people might say, well, you know, we don't need a special day for mothers. But you know what? How often do we as mothers give out? You know, we sacrifice. We pour out every single day. And I'm a mother. I have four kids. I thank God for my four wonderful children. I have four grandchildren. And we pour out on a regular basis. We give and we give and we give. I tell you, I didn't get my hair done this weekend. I'm not getting my hair done this weekend. I'm not buying anything new. I might not even go to dinner. I know my family wants to take me out to dinner, but, you know, the most important thing to me is to have my peace, to have my joy, to make sure that my family is secure, to make sure that my children are happy, to make sure that my grandchildren are blessed. You know, that's the most important thing to any mother, to make sure that our children are doing well. So, you know, to me, that's the biggest blessing that I can get on this Mother's Day, is to make sure that my children are well and that my children are provided for and that my bills are paid. You know, I often tell my husband, just make sure my bills are paid. You know, I really am not one into material things. I just want to make sure that my family is happy and that there's a roof over my head. Amen. So we thank God, who is our provider, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider, and that he continues to provide for us. And, you know, another thing that means a lot to me on this time when we celebrate mothers, my mother, you know, making sure that my mother is happy. So I actually went out and bought my mother a gift. She's in Florida. I'm in New Jersey. And I mailed a gift down to Florida to my mother this week. And that's something that, you know, it blessed me. It blessed me, Pastor Anthony, to be able to send Mom a gift because she's so far away. And I get so busy that I rarely take the time out during Mother's Day or Christmas or any of, or her birthday even, to be able to stop and pick up something and send it to her. I always, you know, we always send a card, but it takes a little bit of extra effort to go to a store and to take the time to pick out a special gift. And I did that this year. And I want to tell you, for those of you who are listening on today, that blessed me. It really blessed me to be able to go out and handpick something from my mother. I bought her some sweet perfume. She found a new church home down in Florida. And I know after she puts on her clothes that mommy likes spraying on some perfume. So, you know, they often say, give me my flowers while I'm alive. You know, don't come to my home going service with a whole bunch of flowers and tears and telling me how much you love me. Give me my flowers. Give me my hugs. Give me my love, my sentiments in the land of the living. Give it to me now. I want everything that you have for me. I want it now. So that's why I don't have a problem with people celebrating mothers on this day and celebrate. And, you know, I'm going to have to receive, too, because I know my family wants to bless me. So help me. Help me. Help me to receive on this weekend, because that's something that I really have a challenge with, receiving. So God bless you. Pastor Emily, I'm going to let you say hello to everybody before we get into our topic on today. I want you to spread the word. I saw Tina Michelle repost the broadcast information on her webpage, and I ask that you do the same. Spread the word. Let somebody know about the Woman to Woman to Man show. Let somebody know that we're on the air and we want to talk to them. Today's topic is what's love got to do with it. So Pastor Emily's going to greet you, and we're going to begin, just dig into what God has for us to say and share on today.
Amen, sweetheart. Yes, you are the mother of my children, and I thank God for you. We are going to take good care of you on this weekend. You deserve it. You're worthy of it. Amen. There's no better wife, no better mother in the world. So I thank you for being a mother to my children. Amen.
Amen.
To God be all the glory. Yes, you do have trouble receiving, but we're going to force feed you this weekend. To God be the glory, whether it's ribs or lobster or seafood or whatever it might be. We want to do something special for you. And for every mother out there, I just want to reiterate what my wife said. Sometimes it's amazing, Pastor, that in the busyness of life, and so many people are busy, this is a fast-moving world. As a child, I remember things moving a lot slower. But in 2013, we're at a rapid pace. Things are moving in a speedily way. And sometimes we don't even stop to say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We don't pause to say we appreciate you, and we don't take the time, not through a text, not through an email, but sometimes our mothers want to hear our voice. Sometimes those who were guardians over us and those who had a mentoring or special place in our lives, they actually want to hear from us and want us to pick up the phone or want us to greet them in a warm way, because we are so busy. And I just thank God that, as you said, that one day out of the year we can acknowledge mothers. We can just say, Mother, thank you. What would the world be without mothers? My mother, who was the greatest mother, went home to be with the Lord in 2011. It was August the 11th, 2011. I'll never forget that date, 8 days before my birthday. And I just miss her dearly. And it's so amazing, you know, some of my siblings are members of our church, and we have gotten closer as a family since my mother has transitioned. And I just thank God for all that she poured into me, Pastor.
Yes.
Sometimes I look at my tendencies as I approach 50, the fact that I care, the fact that I like to give,
yes,
the fact that I have an inclination to help people. My mother did all of that. Growing up in the hood, I remember us even being on food stamps and welfare. Mm-hmm. My mother would give some guys on the streets lunch sandwiches and sodas.
Yes.
And they would be addicted to drugs, or sometimes the drug dealer. And they would say, you know, Mother Simmons or Mama Sims, I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, just hold on. I have one of my children bring you down something to eat. And she always had that kind of heart. The Bible says faith without works is dead.
Yes.
And I saw her as a little boy giving our food away. I didn't appreciate it then. But I fully understand now what God meant about helping one another, having compassion on people. And what's love got to do with it is a wonderful topic today, because God so loved the world that he sent his son.
Wow.
So God passed his action, spoke louder than his words. The fact that he sent Jesus for us, the fact that light entered into darkness, the fact that we had a Savior to save us from our sins, the fact that we don't have a judgment that we have to face and a penalty of damnation and hellfire and brimstone, because we have said, Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are Savior. You are Master. And because we made that confession and that declaration, the penalty of death, fire, hell, and brimstone is not ours. But because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, we are saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled. Now we don't have to pay a penalty because of our sinful ways. And it's amazing, as we get into this topic, what's love got to do with it? Some people really, I believe, Pastor, deep down are good people.
Yeah.
And for the most part, most people are good people.
Yeah.
Now, your circumstances sometimes will cause or allow you to become a bad person through your actions. Sometimes we look at the drug dealer, or we look at the person that's not so nice to other people, and we say, why are they that way? Life.
Wow.
Sometimes life make you bitter. Wow. Sometimes when you didn't have a father, or you didn't have a mother, or you didn't have a healthy household to grow up in, those things can make you bitter. So some people don't know how to love. They don't know how to reciprocate love. I had to learn. I was just as cold as the next person. But when you learn how to love, you learn how to give, you learn that love is more than an action word. And I'm so glad that we're on this topic today, because it's going to bless somebody. I believe that.
Wow, and that is just so powerful, you know, what's love got to do with it? When we think about it, you know, I often ask the Lord what I'm going to talk about, what we're going to talk about on the broadcast. And when the topic came up, it popped up in my spirit, what's love got to do with it? I said, okay, and I quickly put it up, what's love got to do with it? But as I was going upstairs earlier today, right after I finished working out, I began to ponder on this topic, what's love got to do with it? You know, and one word came into my mind, everything.
Wow.
Everything.
Love has everything to do with it.
Love has everything to do with it.
That's
fantastic. And then what's it? You know, when you think about it, what is the it that we're talking about when you ask what's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with anything? And the answer is everything. What's love got to do with you being happy in life? What's love got to do with you having a good marriage? What's love got to do with you being a great parent? What's love got to do with you being successful on your job? What has love got to do with you being the best person that you can be? And the word, the answer is, the one word answer is everything. You know, Tina Turner, Ike and Tina had a movie, What's Love Got to Do with It? And Ike really, I mean, he beat Tina's behind. I mean, he beat on her so bad. And she stayed. You know, she stayed with him. And she continued to take those beatings. And so many women and men are in abusive relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to ask them, any of them, why they stayed, the first thing, I believe, the first thing that would come out of their mouths is, I love him.
I love
her. Or, he loves me. She loves me. You know, they treat me this bad, but I know they love me. I know they're treating me bad, but I love them, and I know that they love me. And that's the time when you want to ask what's love got to do with it. And guess what, Pastor Anthony? My answer will still be everything. It's, if you're in an abusive relationship, and I'm just going to start here. I don't know why I'm starting here.
Amen.
But if you're in an abusive relationship, I want to ask you, why do you stay? And if you say, because I love him or because they love me, I want to ask you, what's love got to do with it? And if you wanted to throw back my answer, which is everything, then I want to challenge you and ask you, why do you not love yourself enough to remove yourself from an abusive situation? Why do we allow ourselves? You know, I want to ask women, especially women, especially women, why do we allow ourselves to be beaten? Why do we allow ourselves to be cheated on and lied to? Why do we allow ourselves to be in relationship with men who cannot commit to us? Why do we allow ourselves to be the other woman, the woman on the down low? You know, I just, you know, ask that question because if we truly loved ourselves, and this is what we have to get to. We have to get to a point where we truly love ourselves, because if you love yourself, you're not going to allow a man, I'm talking to women right now, Pastor might talk to the men a little later, but you're not going to allow a man to treat you any kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not going to take it, you know, and we have to get to the point as women where we see our true value. Now, I'm not coming down on you because I've arrived or, you know, because I have this wonderful husband, and I do have a wonderful husband. But what I'm saying to you is, I have been in situations where I was not treated the way that I should have been treated, and I allowed myself to stay in at least two relationships that I can think of where I was not being loved the way that I needed to be loved, you know, where I was not first in that man's life, where, you know, I wasn't happy, but I stayed. And I would offer to you that the reason that I stayed, and I'm only talking about myself, the reason that I stayed is because I had been traumatized in my past, because I had been molested, because my parents had gone through some changes and I saw it. You know, I saw my father beat my mother, because my parents were alcoholics, because my father was a Rolling Stone. He was a womanizer. Because my father was abusive, because my father abandoned me, you know, at the age of 10, because I was uncovered as a girl, you know, I didn't have a father covering me, I felt like I was worthless, like I wasn't worthy of the love of a good man. I felt uncovered. I felt like I needed to prove that I was worthy of being loved. I felt like I might as well take whatever I got, because it was better than nothing, if you know what I mean. I just took love any way that it came. And so often in my past, I didn't find myself picking the man. I found the man picking me. Like, the boy would pick me instead of the other way around. Like, if he showed an interest in me, then I was interested. And it was crazy. It was really crazy until later on in life when I said, I began to challenge myself, and then I went after the finest man in the party. And that was a challenge for me to say, you know what, where's the best-looking man in the room, and that's the one that I'm going to get. So, but I was still twisted in my mentality, and even when I did get the finest man, that was the one that didn't treat me right. That was the one that didn't love me like I deserved to be loved. But the sad part about that is I didn't know what real love was. And I think that's a challenge for so many women, especially women who are in abusive relationships, that we really don't know what true love is. We don't know what real love is.
And Pastor, that's so amazing, because until you get there, you're really not going to resolve anything. You can spend an entire lifetime. Sometimes we just like to go right to the low self-esteem, and that person doesn't feel good about themselves. But it goes a little deeper than that. It goes to the roots, as you said, sometimes without a spiritual covering, sometimes without a father covering you or a mother covering her son. Sometimes it goes a little deeper, even with why we accept what we accept, mm-hmm. our rejection and acceptance. Or, watch this, even sometimes what's going on across the board. In other words, my man is not as worse as my girlfriend man.
Wow.
At least my man come home, but he knocks me aside the head. At least he's sleeping around, but he gives me security and he pays the rent. He pays all the bills.
Yeah.
At least, you know, I got a person in my bed. And sometimes, Pastor, that acceptance and what we tolerate goes a lot deeper than understanding love. Now, understanding love has a lot to do with it, because with that, many people don't know what love really is.
Right, exactly. That's what I
mean. And that's why we got to get a healthy understanding of love. We got to get a healthy definition of what love really is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul said it so beautifully in 1 Corinthians 13.
Wow.
Love is kind. Love is patient. Mm-hmm. Love is long-suffering. It's not puffed up. It's not boastful. Love doesn't cause harm or hurt or pain.
Wow.
So Paul gives a wonderful definition of love, and he says this. He goes on to even say, us as believers, those of us who want to do ministry or are doing ministry, those of us who are concerned with people's souls and their spiritual well-being, Paul says if we do all that stuff without love, we're ineffective, we're nothing.
Wow.
So he takes it one step further and says, when you say what love got to do with it, you said everything.
Right.
What is spiritual, a platonic relationship, a marriage, a parent to a child, a child to a parent, your friends that love you, they won't stab you in the back. So love goes a mighty, mighty long way.
Mm.
And it's so wonderful because Tina Turner gave us in our lifetime that song, being in a abusive relationship, being to a place where as a wife she was beaten by her husband.
Wow.
So for her to make a hit song, what's love got to do with it, but a secondhand emotion, sometimes our emotions do get in the way.
Wow.
See, oh, glory be to God, help us Holy Ghost. We're gonna talk about this, because for the person that says, okay, he loved me, she loves me, because they ask for forgiveness, they apologize, they said they were sorry, now we're moving on. But, Pastor, sometimes they do it again and again and again. Now, were they really sorry, or did they just apologize because they wanted to deceive or keep this person in their life and keep this dysfunctional relationship going?
Mm-hmm.
See, one of the things that I love about God is that seeing my father in the natural, who was abusive to my mother, who divorced my mother, who betrayed my mother and did, if you will, ungodly things, like, you know, having other extra relationships outside of my mother relationship.
Yeah.
I had all these tendencies to become that, to become my father. Because I don't care if you deny it out there or not, your bloodline is strong. Your heritage, your traits that come down through the generations are strong. But our God is stronger.
Stronger. Amen.
I said, but our God is stronger. So the person that says, I just love women, or the person that says, I have these tendencies, I can tell you today with confidence that every chain can be broken, that every stronghold can be torn down, that everything that tries to keep you in bondage can be eradicated if you allow God to do it. One of the problems and one of the reasons we still see this curse of divorce happening even in the church is because we're not letting go and we're not letting God. So how can you sit up under the preach word of God? How can you sit up under the gospel of Jesus Christ? How can you sit up under a God that has an answer to all of your problems and still have the same fate as this world? Something is wrong, Pastor. Something is definitely wrong when the church is having affairs like the world, when the church is still sleeping around like the world, when the church is just as ugly as the world is sometimes. Now, I'm not beating up the church, because the church is the last hurrah. The church is the last frontier. The church is the last answer to our problems. So without the church, where would we be? Without God, where would we be? So as a pastor that has said yes to God, that our feet, see, I want to read this. I want to read this. John chapter 21, the last chapter in the Gospel of John. Listen to this exchange between John in Jesus. Verse 14 says, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had died, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me, or do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me, or do you love me? He said unto him, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me, or do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me, or do you love me? And Jesus was simply challenging Peter. Three times is a charm. And Pastor, God will allow us to open up our mouths and say, God, I love you. You often sing a song in our church, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King. And that song, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, today. All these love songs to Jesus.
Yes.
We hear them on 1190. That's our gospel station here in New Jersey. We hear them through the songwriter. We hear them through many of the psalms. And what's love got to do with it? Everything. And God is challenging you and I not to be sucked in by this world. When we look around sometimes, Pastor, if the truth was to be told, sometimes we don't see love in marriages. We don't see love in families. And sometimes that kind of toxic culture that we live in can rub off on us. The Bible says many hearts will wax cold in the last days, and we are in the last days, where sometimes it's even a challenge to even preach and teach love, because sometimes people don't think that might be for my neighbor, but it's not for me.
Amen. That's powerful. But when you think about it, I want to say hello to Reverend Doris Dorsey, Reverend Doris Dorsey, and our guest in the chat room. God bless you. We also have a real live chat going on Facebook over the Women to Woman to Man page. I want you to go over there and like our page on Facebook. The link is in the chat room. But Pastor Emily, you just said something so powerful. The world has began to form the definition of love.
Everything God made good, they trying to turn it into love.
And the thing about it is, that's the question that I just posted in the chat room on our page is, does God's love make a difference in the way that you love? You know, does God's love make a difference in the way that we love?
Amen.
You know, when you think about it, Jesus said, I was reading this morning in the Gospel of John chapter 15, where Jesus said, abide in me and I'll abide in you. He said, abide in me and let my words abide in you. He says, then you will ask the Father what you will and it shall be done to you. And he continues to talk about abiding in his love. Jesus talks about abiding in his love. And he says, as you abide in my love, he said, you can ask whatever you want in my name and it will be done. It will be given to you. But even more than that, he talks about what greater love does a man have that he will lay down his life for his friends? And when you think about love like that, you're thinking about now a great sacrificial love. You're talking about an unconditional love now. You know, and when people think about love, often we think about love as far as our relationships with the opposite sex are concerned. We think about love as far as our relationships with the opposite sex. Like, I love you as my husband and you love me as your wife. And before that, we loved each other as boyfriend and girlfriend, if you want to call it that. You know, so we often think about love between the sexes, between the man and the woman. But how about what you were saying? How about the love of God? When we can take the love of God, because truly, truly, I know I'm stopping in the middle of a sentence, but this thought just came to me. Truly, without knowledge of the love of God, we have no knowledge of what real love is.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's the thing. Like you said, the world has begun to shape and form for us, even the church.
The mindset
about what love really is.
Right.
Because guess what? Most of us came from the world. Listen, I don't know about you, but I wasn't saved all of my life.
Come on.
You know, and I'm still
who
yet.
Who's he talking to out there?
I'm still yet being saved.
Still helping us.
You know, God is still working on me. Amen. He's working on my love walk. You know, and so we were not saved all of our lives. And you heard my testimony. I grew up with a warped perception of what love really is,
right.
You know. So that's why I began to define and ask, what do we really know what love is? But when we think about God's love, you know, Jesus said in that same text in John 15, he said, "You have not chosen me, but I chose you." You know, how beautiful is that? You know, when you think about God loved us so much, and it talks about that in the book of John, that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die for us so that we would not perish, but we would have eternal life. Well, we have, and not only eternal life, John wraps it up in John 10:10. He says, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come so that you might have life and have life more abundantly.
That's love.
You know, that's love.
That's love.
You know, when Jesus would lay down his life for us, even in our sins, while we were yet in our sins,
he died
for us. You know, that's love. When you would say, you know what, it's not about me. Love is really not about, when I want to love you, it's really not about me, but it's about you.
Yes.
When I want to love you, it's not about how much I can get out of it, or how conducive you are to my desires, but it's what can I give to you? How can I bless you? How can I make you feel better? How can I make your life better? How can I add to your life? How can I be a blessing to you? That's really what love is. I believe love is something that you do to fulfill a need in another person's life. You know, it's sacrificial. Love is unconditional. In other words, love is not, I'm not going to love you just because I like you or just because you are doing everything that I want you to do. But I'm going to love you even when you're ugly, even when you, I'm going to love you when you're mean. I'm gonna love you when you're not even acting the way that I need you to act. I'm gonna love you anyhow. I'm gonna love you because I have been commanded to love you.
That's good, Pastor. That's so good. I want to get to the latter part of John 15 as you alluded to that, because it's such a powerful few verses that John wrote. But watch this. Mother's Day is tomorrow.
Yes.
Now, you tell me God has not just made mothers in an awesome way.
My God.
You can have a child that's a crack addict.
Mm.
You can have a child that has, quote, unquote, disowned you, a child that's a criminal. And you can have a child that's been so disappointing or maybe not pleasing in your sight. But, Pastor, as we approach Mother's Day, that mother's love for that child is so unconditional.
Mm.
And sometimes our love is so conditional.
Yeah.
And that's why we're talking about what's love got to do with
yeah.
it. That child, no matter what happens, that child has earned such a reverence and such an honor. That's why Mother's Day is such a big holiday. Because a mother's, sometimes there's just no comparison to a mother's love.
Wow.
And one other thing I think we're going to pick up a little later in the broadcast. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives.
Oh.
It doesn't say wives loves your husband. We're going to get into that little mess because we're going to talk about but but it says wives reverence and give respect unto your husband. But the Bible says,
yes.
I'm speaking from the one in Ephesians, the end of Ephesians, where it remains a great mystery, because that one is so important because Paul says this is a mirror of God through Jesus' relationship with the church.
Yes.
It remains a mystery.
Right.
That's why marriage is so powerful. The world can see through a husband and wife relationship, kind of, the church of Jesus Christ coming back for his bride.
Yes.
Christ coming back for the bride, as it's recorded in Revelation.
Yes.
But I'm just way down, Phil. But I want to read this. Watch this. Because this is something that you talked about in the last word that you preached. John 15:17 says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." He says, "If the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you."
Yeah.
"If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you."
Mm.
And Jesus goes on to say, this is how the world is going to know that you are my disciples, that you belong to me, your love for one another.
Yeah.
And it bothers me as a pastor. It bothers me sometimes as a man of God. Sometimes what I see in today's church, sometimes some people come in and they don't feel love. I'm not criticizing the church today. I'm just saying, if this is part of your church or part of the ministry that you have noticed, where they may have a coldness that have crept into a church, we need to clean house and get that right. Because if people come to our churches and don't feel warm, don't feel welcome, they feel like clicking up with the people we know, and sometimes they're a stranger off the street. At New Creation, we try to create this atmosphere of love, the hug of love, love one another. If you have an off with your brother or sister, try to straighten that thing out. Don't walk around and come to this church in bitterness towards your brother or your sister in Christ. And, Pastor, as you said it, when we hate on the haters that hate us, are we now the haters? We're not walking in love.
Right. Amen. Amen. That's so powerful. The Bible tells the husband to love his wife, you know, and that's in Colossians and also in Ephesians. I thought I saw a scripture where the Bible told the wife to love the husband, but I can't find it. And like you said, Pastor Anthony, that is just so powerful that God clearly tells the man to love that wife because he knows that the man is more challenged in the area of affection.
Right.
See, men have a problem expressing affection sometimes, and we have to learn how to play our roles in marriage. And, caller, we see you. We're going to start taking calls. We thank God for those of you who are in the, on the switchboard, and we're going to take calls in a few minutes so that we can begin to talk some more about this topic. But that is so important. And even in the church, when you talked about the lack of love, sometimes that is to be found in God's church. You know, and the thing about it is that's why the job of the pastor is so pertinent, because the Bible tells us to be examples to the flock.
Right.
You know, and if you had a cold pastor, you're going to have a cold congregation. And even sometimes, because as the head goes, so the body goes, you know. And sometimes you're going to have warm and loving pastors, but you will also have people in the congregation who are not loving. And that's why it's so important.
And the pastor may never find out about it.
And the pastor won't know because the pastor can't see everything. But that's why it's so important for us all, like Pastor Anthony said, to make sure that we're walking in love at all times.
Yeah.
Not just in the church, but in the world. And we were in a restaurant. I went yesterday to take one of our elders to the doctor. And she said she felt so guilty because I came out and took her to the doctor. I drove down about half an hour, and then we drove an hour in the other direction.
Wow.
To the doctor's appointment, and I drove her an hour home and had to come back home a half an hour. And it was a whole day that I spent with her. And before we went to the doctor's, I took her to lunch, and we sat down and we had lunch. And as we were in the restaurant, we prayed for our meal. And this lady came over after we prayed, and she got up from her table and came over and said, That was a beautiful prayer. She said, I was so blessed by that prayer. And I said, are you a sister in Christ? She said, no, I'm not. She said, my daughter is a born-again Christian. I said, well, do you mind if we pray for you? And she said, sure. And we held her hand, and she stood at the table while we were sitting there, and we prayed with her. And then we left, and then we went to the doctor's office, and then we went home. And you know, we just had a wonderful day of fellowship outside of the church. And that's love. You know, when you can begin to express that love by different actions, where you can sacrifice your own time and your own agenda and go and make sure that somebody else is taken care of. Now, I want to say, I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back. What I'm saying is I praise God because he finally got me there.
Wow.
You have to hear what I'm saying.
It doesn't come naturally sometimes.
I was so selfish. You know, it was like there was no way that I was going to get up and come out of my comfort zone and go outside of the church. Yeah, well, while they're in the church, I would do anything. But to literally go on a Friday afternoon and go outside of the church to do something like that, I know it's only God.
Amen.
It's only God that gets the glory out of that particular trip that I took on yesterday. And that's what we have to do. We have to let our light so shine that wherever we go, the people will be able to feel our love, and that love can be expressed through us. And so in other words, the Bible says that we have to practice. We have to allow the fruit of love to be made manifest in our lives. It's an effort. It takes effort to love. So, you know, we just thank God for this topic on today. Pastor Anthony, I don't know if you want to start taking calls or we did have one caller, but their hand is no longer raised. But with about 5 more minutes, we're going to start taking calls to begin to talk some more about this topic. But what we want to say is love is not something that we should be doing on Sunday morning. If you are a Christian, if you are a Christian, and I'm not talking to people who are not Christians right now. I'm talking to Christians. You have been commanded to love. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. He said, you will obey my commandments. And he said, my commandments are not burdensome. You know, and when they asked Jesus, when the Pharisees came, the religious leaders came to Jesus, and they said to him, which of the commandments are the most important?
Out of the ten.
Out of all of them. And Jesus said, this is the most important.
Number one.
That you love the Lord your God.
Right.
With all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And that you love your neighbor as yourself.
Wow.
And then Jesus went on to say, all of the ten are wrapped up in these two. And you think about it. If you love like Jesus tells us to love, if you love like Jesus tells you to love, then you don't have to worry about stealing from somebody. You don't have to worry about coveting somebody's wife or somebody's mule or somebody's car or house. You don't have to worry about taking the name of the Lord in vain. All of these commandments, even the moral law, all of these things, the moral law is wrapped up in love. That's the perfect law of love. When we keep that commandment, we keep all of the others.
Pastor, that's so powerful. You said Jesus narrowed it down to the greatest two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your strength, and your soul.
Yes.
Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yes.
And it's so powerful because a response came from the people that was there and said, well, who is my neighbor?
Mm.
Glory be to God.
Oh.
And where we live, we live in a residential area. Paul and Michelle lives on the left, and Angel and his wife and family lives on our right. And those are in proximity, our neighbors.
Yes.
But Jesus takes it a step further. He says the priest comes by, and this man was beaten and robbed and left for dead in the street. And the priest came by and went on the other side. And then I think it says that the Levite came by and saw the man beaten unto death and laying there in the gutter in the street and went on by. But the parable goes on to say, but the good Samaritan, glory be to God, the good Samaritan
bandaged his wounds and put him on his horse and took him to the inn to get treatment, and said if there's any other payments that's going to help this man get fully back on his feet and fully restored, I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to pay you next time I come through this area. So his actions spoke louder than his words.
Wow.
That is a powerful, powerful parable that Jesus spoke about. Our daughter, Kayla, she's a freshman, and she's 14 years old. And she told us a story yesterday that her and her friends were walking home from school, and they saw an older lady who fell down in the street. And they said they just saw this lady, and they helped her get up, helped her get herself together, and help her get to the taxi and the taxi stand. And said this lady just wanted to bless them, and I think she gave them a few dollars apiece. But they said we wasn't going to just leave her down in the street like that. And it reminded me about this Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
They were Good Samaritans not even knowing it. They were just teenagers trying to help somebody who fell down. And said the lady was mad at herself because she was just trying to get Mother's Day gifts for people in her church, the younger women in her church. And she said she shouldn't even be out there because it's hard for her to get around. But my daughter blessed me.
Yeah.
Because, Pastor, you said that's love when it's outside of the church.
Yes.
To do a good deed when nobody is looking, that's what God is looking for.
Wow.
Oh, glory be to God. When nobody gives you credit for the love that you extend, when nobody sees the compassion that you have for your fellow man or fellow woman, when nobody is going to give you a thank you, put your name in a program, put your name up on the billboard, just loving unconditionally without any expectation in return.
Wow.
That's a powerful, powerful evidence of love.
Wow.
And as you said, Pastor, men, I want to talk to men for just a minute. I grew up without a father. Me and my boys and my homies back in the day, we had no idea what love was. We didn't see it. Not too many of our households had a father and mother living together. I had one or two friends that had fathers living in a home, but they both their fathers were the neighborhood alcoholics.
Yeah.
So as a young man, I really didn't see a strong man figure until I got to high school and I met some educated men. And then they began to show me, you know, they used to call me Simmons, you can become anything you want to become. You can learn how to respect women. You can be married. You can get out of the hood. You can make something out of yourself. So outside of my normal neighborhood that I grew up in, I began to get around this educational academic field, and I began to see strong men that I wanted to mimic and duplicate or go after.
Yes.
And I said, well, education can take me somewhere. And I see that these brothers are positive, the way they see life and the way they treat their wives. This is not what I grew up with. So guess what, Pastor? I had to unlearn some things.
Yes, amen.
That's the only reason we've been married for almost 18 years, is because I had to unlearn some things.
Yes.
If I would have kept doing life the way I was doing life, I wouldn't be here today.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I thank God for being a teacher. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. I thank God that he came into your life and just began to convict your heart and allow you to make the changes. Amen. And he did the same for me, Pastor Anthony. So I just thank God for what he's doing. And we see this caller. We're going to put our caller on the board. While we're talking about love, I want to talk about a brother that we love, Brother Ray Jones. Amen. Hallelujah. And we see you, Ray and Kathy. Amen. Kathy Jones on the switchboard. We want to let you guys know that we love you, and we are praying for Ray's recovery as he has surgery on that leg. And Ray, you know, just be encouraged, my brother, and know that God is still a healer. He's a deliverer. Kathy, be encouraged. You know, it's a hard time. It's a tough time. And we know that God is able to bring us through every single trial that we go through. And we just pray God's total restoration, amen, total healing power will touch that leg in the name of Jesus. We just thank God for what he's doing in your life, even during this time. And we ask that the peace of the Lord will continually abide with you both in your homes during this season, in your home during this season, in your hearts. We ask God to draw you closer together, that God will make a bond even in your marriage like never before that you two would come even closer together. So we just thank God for you, and we pray for you, and we cover you with prayer right now. We thank God for his healing power right now, touching you and touching your body and continuing to do great things in your lives. We know that God is able, and he has a great plan and the purpose for both of you and for your marriage. And we thank God even for the testimony that's coming out of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So God bless you both. We're going to put this call up on the air. We're going to put this call on the air. Area code 754. We thank God for you. God bless you, and welcome to the broadcast today.
Thank you very much. God bless. First of all, happy Mother's Day to all
thank
the mothers that are listening. To Dr. Rebecca. Second of all, it's official. I am officially a New Yorker again. Third of all, every time that I would press one, then something would happen that my attention would, so I was not able to talk. So I said, well, let me just get this out and then go back on to, you know, off the air. But as Pastor Anthony was talking about the Samaritan. The Samaritans, they didn't, when that analogy he just gave, the Samaritan, the Levite, who is the priest, and the Levite and the priest, that's the church. They seen this person in need of help. They kept going. Another time, Jesus, when the young man was talking to Jesus, he said, just speak your word. Jesus said, I have never seen so much faith in all of Israel, of all the church. So this person, this young man who stopped and seen this person that was, there wasn't so much quote unquote, speaking in tongue, running up and down the aisle, Christians. But they seen the need. And as the body of Christ today, that's where our greatest ministry is going to be, as in seeing the need. It doesn't matter what race, creed, or religion that the person is in. You see the need because we're all people. That's the whole thing. We're all people. And love, as you were talking about earlier, we have to learn the God kind of love, which is the agape love, because that says unconditional. Jesus said, you know, you love the people that love you. What is that? That is, you ain't doing nothing. You're doing what the sinners are doing. But my love takes you further than that you love people who might not love you back, that you do for people who might not do anything in return. Jesus healed 10 lepers, and only one came back. And Jesus said, where's the other nine?
Jesus.
But he yet healed them.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
This is where we, the body of Christ, have to get to. That we're giving to a agape. That hey, I'm not giving to get. I'm not doing for a return. I'm not loaning for you to pay me back. You know, even in the lending, if you can afford to give it to that person, then here, just give it to you. Don't you know. Brother, I'm not telling you to go find people to loan money to, but I'm just saying, in case, just in case, if somebody say, well, I need to borrow a couple of dollars, and then they don't, then you don't sit there, you know, looking cross-eyed. You can't pray no more. You can't sing and worship God because they're in the room and you're thinking about, they owe you $20, and they got a new hat on with your $20. But if you're able to give it to them and say, hey, well, you know, if you don't, because I don't want that to, I don't want that to stop my love walk. And then finally, with that wife, that is the ultimate love. That is the ultimate love. No, the Bible did not tell the wife to love her husband. It says to honor and respect. That's love. But
wow.
The man, we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. That there is nothing that my wife, I won't do for my wife. There isn't. And I'm learning now in this transition because we're just really getting into it. And so the Lord has been really working on me to be more patient and more understanding and more watchful over my wife, with my wife, because I'm bringing her from a different society, a different almost culture shock from South Florida to back to Brooklyn, New York. There's a lot of things that she's going to have to, and I'm going to have to be very, very loving and patient with her about. I'm getting ready to take her somewhere now that she's going to have to, she knows how to drive, but driving in Florida and driving in Brooklyn is two different driving issues. And so, you know, and helping her to learn her way around. She's visited here quite a few times, but never lived. So, I was wondering why the Lord kept giving me, you mentioned that scripture in Colossians, how to love. And I'm like, wow, okay, Lord. And now I'm seeing the ministry. Oh, okay. It's the ministry of love, not just to my wife, but as we as leaders and pastors and preachers, love, you said that earlier too, you walk in a church and the pastor's not a loving person. So what do you do? How do you exemplify and show love to that ministry? My hands are full.
Wow.
Hey, amen, Apostle. We thank God for you. Welcome back to the tri-state area. Amen. All the way from sunny Florida, you're back to Brooklyn, New York. You're originally a New Yorker, so we welcome you back to this area. Thank God for you and the missus being part of the tri-state family. God sent you back up this way, and you're a blessing to the body of Christ. But as we talk about this topic, what love got to do with it? Pastor, you said everything. For those of you who just called in, we have a full switchboard. Love does have everything to do with it. And as Apostle Amica was simply saying, there's a mandate on the man to love his wife. Mm-hmm. And as a man, Apostle Amica and I just can identify with that. Even as you said, at this stage in your life, God is still working on you in certain areas as it pertains to loving your wife. And I'll be 50 years old this year. He's working on me in certain areas. Yes, we've come a long way, but that's why I think, Pastor, he allowed the man through the commandment, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He could have just left it at that, love your wife. Mm-hmm. But he said, as Christ loved the church, we have no speculation like we talked about earlier. What's the definition of love? He gave us an example, like Christ loved the church. No greater example than that. How Christ is the head of the church and loves the church. Carla, we see that hand, and we're going to put you through. But I just want to share this one scripture. Proverbs 3 says, withhold not good for them to whom it is due, when it is in your power and your hand to do it. Say not unto your neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give you when thou hast it by thee. And Apostle Amiga was so powerful, as you said. There's a need in our culture, in our society today. The church can't meet every need, but the needs that we can minister to, we need to go ahead and do that. Area code.
Amen. Yeah, we're going to take the caller, but I just wanted to just say a few things. 808, we see you. We're going to take you. Area code 808. Apostle, you talked about the love and the sacrifice that your wife made to come to New Jersey from Florida. That's love. You know, when she truly has to now inconvenience herself to adapt to a new climate, a new culture, and even, like you said, learn how to drive up in New Jersey. And I wrote in the chat room that love will sometimes inconvenience you. In other words, love is not always convenient.
That's right.
And that's just so powerful. Another thing that you said is that sometimes love is not going to bring forth a pat on the back. You're not going to receive acknowledgement for the love that you put out. And can we love like that? Can we love when we know that we're not going to get anything in return?
Wow.
And I just want to just say this because there are so many in the church who have this mindset that they don't want to be involved with people that cannot advance their agenda. And I don't know where that's coming from, where you feel like you want to cut people off if they cannot help you get to your next place. And that is not of God. That is not of God. There are times when you will have to give to people where God will say, look, I need you to do this for a person, or I need you to do that. I need you to minister to this person. And ministering to a person does not mean that you're standing in the pulpit and preaching to a person. It means that you are rolling up your sleeve and you are helping that person. It means that you are taking time out of your busy schedule and you are reading to a person who has lost their eyesight and they can't read the Bible for themselves, and you know it. And you're sitting there and you're reading your Bible, and the Lord will drop that person in your spirit and say, call so-and-so and read the Bible to that person. Because that person can no longer read their Bible. Now, you can sit there and say, well, I don't feel like calling nobody reading the Bible to them. But if God speaks that to you, you need to obey. Because God is saying, if you love me, you will feed my sheep. If you love me, you will help that person. You will be the hands for that person who can't pick up something with their hands. You will be the feet for that person who can't walk. You will be the eyes for that person who cannot see. That's love. And when we get that, it's not about our agenda. Listen, if you go on my Facebook page, you will see people that are not Christians. You might just say, why is Pastor Rebecca friends with all these people who are not Christians? You know why? Because I love them. I love them enough to be a presence of God to them that will make a difference in their dark world, because somebody did it for me. God forbid if I would not do it for somebody else. So for the Christian who has been deceived to say, look, I don't need to be involved with these people because they can't even add to my bottom line. I'm here to tell you, you are wrong, and you need to repent and change that mindset and turn it around and be the salt to that person and be the light to that person and make a difference in the life of that person. No, you can't save the world, and you can't help everybody. And like Apostle Amica said, you might not even have the money to do it, but you have something that you can give that can make the difference in the life of somebody. I just wanted to add that while it was hot.
May I add to that, too, because you said something that it exemplifies what Jesus came to be our example about. And you said something just now that if you cannot, and I was guilty. I'm admitting myself. I was guilty to a certain degree that, hey, if you can't help me to get where I'm trying to go, then I will write you off. I'll cut you. I just dropped you. But I've learned that if we are not. Everybody, we are not, let me say it correctly, I agree. We are not, everybody is not to come into our life to get us to a particular place, but God brings a lot of people into our life so that we may minister, so that they can get to their next place. So it has nothing to do with where you trying to go. It has all to do with where they're trying to get, where they need to go. And they're just stopping in your life to so that you can minister, give them those properties and those tools that God has put in, invested in us so that they can get to the next place.
Ooh.
Man, Jesus died for people who did not, they didn't give a flying flip about him either way.
Wow.
they really didn't care what he came for. In his day, they weren't thinking about that. They were so involved with other gods and other religions and other things. And here is the Son of God that came to die even for us while we were yet in our sins. And it wasn't a guarantee that if I die for all of these people, that all of these people are going to be saved. But if they decide to, they can be.
Wow.
Hey, man, area code, we're going to put this other caller through, but an apostle with a wonderful, a great observation. When Jesus walked this earth, like you said, that agape love, hard to duplicate, but it's possible. And that unconditional love that Jesus showed throughout his lifetime, even warning his disciples, this world is not going to love you. It's going to actually hate you. It hated me, and you are not going to be befriended by this world. So it behooves us, Pastor, as you said, and Apostle says, I just want to reiterate and emphasize that sometimes we are going to be put in people's lives to get them to a place that God wants to get them to. That's why he said, Peter, you know, I pray that your faith fell not. And when you are strengthened, come on.
Go back.
When you are strengthened, go back. How many of us go back? How many of us give back? And that's all God is saying. When you got your marriage together, when you get your money together, when you get back on your feet, help somebody else. Area code 808. You are on the air, 808.
Good morning, Pastor. I'm Rebecca and Anthony. I am God's remnant in your chat room. I just wanted to share this about the love of God. Do you remember back in 2004 when they had that major tsunami that flooded Indonesia? And most of the people that were affected by that flood were Muslim people. But I want the world to know that a lot of Christian churches donated food, money, and clothing to those people. We didn't see this as Muslims, we saw them as people, and we moved with the love of God to do whatever we could for them. And it's not just them, it's whenever major disasters happen where we in the body of Christ can donate and give something to the people in need. The Christian churches always step up to the plate and do the best that they can. We have, you know, the major television shows. I mean, we do as much for them because it's love. But yet, the world accuses Christians as almost being not effective anymore. And that in the military now, we're noted as they line us up with Islamists. They call us extremists. But we move love and care for people. Because that's who Jesus Christ is, and that's how he taught us to live our life. So I just wanted to share. We share with all the people we can. It doesn't matter what religion or denomination you are with. That's not what Jesus taught us. He said to love our neighbor and to love each other. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share about the love of God that he has put in us, and we have to bring it out.
Yes.
So thank you for letting me share that.
Amen, and we thank God for you sharing that thought on this broadcast today, because as you reminded all of us that the church has always been influential in so many tragedies that have happened, and that was a natural tragedy, the tsunami, and the church, as you said, there was evidence that the church charitable giving, and they helped, the missionaries. Everybody did a phenomenal job toward that horrific incident that happened. And throughout the generations, the churches as you reminded us today, have been there for so many people and so many causes. So we can't overlook what the church really does do and
yeah.
sometimes not get credit for it. We are sometimes paranoid by the media and sometimes about how they blow up stories of charitable organizations that go corrupt. But there are a lot of good-hearted churches and organizations that carry through with the proceeds that are for the down and out,
yeah.
that are for those who are hungry and without clothing and shelter.
Yeah.
And I thank God for you shedding that light on this broadcast today, that the church in every generation have been very helpful in so many tragedies and so many needs throughout the generations. So thank you for those thoughts on today.
Thank you. And, you know, God bless your ministry abundantly.
Amen, amen. Well, we thank God.
Amen, amen. And we receive that, amen. And we thank God for you, God's remnant. And thanks for that observation. You also made a number of comment about, you know, even in the military, we're considered in so many areas to be extremists. You know, people, and I believe that's because people still don't want to be told what to do. That's one thing, part of human nature is that no one, even us sometimes as Christians, want to be told what to do. That's why there's so much rebellion and so much rejection against the word of God, especially for unbelievers when it comes to the do's and don'ts. We pretty much want to go after the desires of our own flesh when we're not born again. And when we are born again, we thank God for the Holy Spirit who comes to convict us of our sins and to begin to manifest change in our lives. So of course, there are people who want to do things that are contrary to the word of God. And when they look at the church and the church's stance on certain issues, these people will call us names. They will call us radical. They will call us extremists. They will call us, they will even say that we're perpetrating hate crimes and that we're speaking hate language because of certain things that are biblical that we're standing up for and the world is against these standards and guidelines. So, of course, they're going to call us extremists in the church, and we have to be willing to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. So a great observation that you made, and we thank you, and we receive the blessings that you prayed upon our ministry.
Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Amen.
Amen. This is just a powerful topic today. And you know, as Christians, we must stand up for the things of God.
Yeah.
We can put titles on it, conservatives and all these titles on it, but it's simply Bible. It's simply trying to uplift moral standards and ethics and godly living, holiness. These are the things sometimes pastors not talked about on a large scale because people do get offended. People don't want to line up sometimes with the will of God. Holiness is right. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Wow.
Godliness is right. It said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are beautiful, whatsoever things are perfect, whatsoever things are of a good report, focus on these things. So, again, this world can make us cold. This world can try to conform us instead of allowing us to conform it.
Wow.
But we have to stay strong.
Wow.
That's why you got to put on your whole armor. You got to stay in the word of God, which will not come back void. Find yourself in a church, a Bible-based church, a word church, and around the body of believers because we need each other more than ever before. So what's love got to do with it is so powerful.
Wow. You know, that's just so powerful. What I just thought about is how extreme is your love? You know, are you willing to be called an extremist for God to get, in order for God to get the glory in your life? How extreme is your love?
Crazy for Christ.
Are you willing to stand up and say homosexuality is not of God? Are you willing to stand up and say same-sex marriage is wrong? Are you willing to stand up and say
adultery is wrong? You know, are you willing to stand up and say it's wrong for you to get divorced? Especially if there has not been fornication, sexual immorality, or abandonment, which are the two biblical reasons that God gives us that we can dissolve a marriage. Are you willing to stand up and just stand for holiness? Stand up and say, you know what, I'm going to be holy. Are you willing to be holy? How extreme is your love? Are you willing to turn your back on things that you know are wrong and begin to embrace what God says is right? Is how extreme is your love? And that brings us back to what's love got to do with it. How much do you love God?
That's what it comes down to.
How much do you love God? You know, and that's what we have to get to the point where we love the Lord so much that we are willing to obey him. You know, when it came to the promises of God, so many people did not get into the promised land. So many of the Israelites died in the wilderness.
Because of what?
Because of disobedience and unbelief. Because of unbelief. Because they did not want to obey God. They were stiff-necked. They were rebellious people. And they wanted things their way. And, you know, I'm like God's remnant. I'm one to lean on the side of looking at what the church is doing right as opposed to looking at what the church is doing wrong.
Right.
And I really love the fact that she brought that to the forefront. Like, look, the church is doing a lot of things. The overall church is doing a lot of good in the land. You know, we are there. If you look around the churches, when Sandy hit, the churches were there. When the tsunami hit, the churches were there.
The local church.
A
lot of communities are, yes.
And right. Even some of the mega ministries, which mega ministries get a really bad rap, but a lot of the mega ministries are doing a lot of good. Because guess what? They have the money and they have the manpower to make a significant difference in this world. So, you know, God's church, if we as the body will each take our part and do our part, we can continue to impact this nation for Christ. Amen. Well, we only have about 40 more minutes. We want to invite you to call in and let your voice be heard. Area code 646-652-4832. Just call us, 646-652-4832. Call in and let your voice be heard. Amen. We want to put you on the air. We want to talk about you, talk to you, not talk about you, but we want to talk to you, amen, and hear what you have to say about our topic on today. Area code 908, God bless you. You're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
God bless you. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Pastor Rebecca, Pastor Anthony, and Apostle Amica, and the other woman that was on the line today. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. One day with the Lord is better than being anything else. Praise ye the Lord. This is on-time broadcast on the day with your topic, which you said that love got everything to do with it. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to Yahweh God. I tell you, God is so awesome. He is love. I'm just also reminded of so many things on today. This is a coin phrase that came from Apostle Barnes. She said, deriving from John 3:16, love is not love until it's given away. Love is not love until it's given away. And we know the scripture, how Christ loved us so much. You know, God through Christ loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son. So we thank the Lord, you know, for salvation on today. And also, too, just before I, you know, proceed, I just do want to give a shout-out, praise God, to fathers, to mothers, to children, amen, to brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, because I'm going to never not have another chance to give a shout-out, amen, you know, based on holidays in that respect. So to God be all the glory for all the body of Christ Jesus and people in this world. So with that being stated, too, I just witnessed something today with regard to your topic, as the other woman was speaking about the churches. You know, we had a breaking news story here in Elizabeth with regard to the two women, amen?
Yeah.
So with that, I'm telling you, so close to home. I mean, literally feet away from me and my son, literally across the street, feet away. But with that being stated, what I witnessed today, what I would also add in with the spirit of love from the church, I saw actually Christ-like people and Muslims come together, went to that actually apartment building and led a vigil prayer together, hand in hand. That, to me, there was no greater love. If I was able to join them, I certainly would have. But due to policies, I was not able to do so at this present time. But however, what I witnessed from afar, I said, Lord, only you, such a time as this. When they put down the spirit of religion and tradition, they just came together and just did a prayer vigil right there. I said, God, you know, you're so awesome. You're so awesome. That's what it means with love. That's what love has to do with that, when you know, focusing on other people, you know, than with ourselves. And the other part that you were saying earlier, I believe it was you, Pastor Rebecca, saying about with your loved ones, or either Pastor Anthony was saying how you have to be eyes for your loved ones sometimes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. At present right now, our mother is actually losing her actual sight. She's been blind in the right eye for 2 years. Just was informed by the doctor within the last 2 weeks that she's actually now has a high advance of glaucoma, which is saving watch, which I also was sharing on our talk show this week as well too. How she's, you know, and we're trusting the Father. We know that God is still able. We know that He's still able. He was able to, you know, to heal the blind man. He's able to still, you know, hear her before she go blind as well too. So with that, I'm just so full right now. I'm really to a point of speechless because my heart is just so overwhelmed with gratitude and also with love, even for my own mother. I was just so grateful to being able to be with her on Tuesday. My heart was just somewhat sad when I heard the report from the doctor saying that, you know, she may become, you know, totally blind someday. And, you know, she's not able to see as well. She's not able to do things like she used to do. And you can see how that has affected her esteem. You know, she know that she used to be a very vibrant woman, was able to cook, and now it takes her a moment to put things together. She can't, you know, measure the ingredients and things of that nature. But what am I saying for myself? As a daughter, I believe the greatest gift, with all due respect, this is why I don't focus on holidays, if you will, but every day, I believe the greatest gift that I could have gave to my mom was with me to be in there, you know?
Yeah.
And to be able to be with her. And I was able to walk with her, like me and my sister, to help actually walk her to and from the doctor's door, back to the car, back to the place of residence, and then being able to prepare her meal, you know, actually cook the meal, because she's not able to see. She's not able to see like she used to see. So what, as Pastor Anthony was saying, is sometimes you have to become the eyes of someone else. That is true in our life now. It's an actual fact. And I will be, you know, going back with her next week as well, too. And I told her, I said, Mom, just put a checklist out. Let me know whatever you want me to do, and I'll be able to do anything you want me to do, prepare your meals in advance and things of that age, you know, nature, just to make things easy. Because we never know what tomorrow holds. And like you said, Pastor Rebecca, earlier, talking about ministry, that is ministry. That is the real knots and bolts of ministry, such as what you and Pastor Anthony said, coming actually literally eyes and hands and ears and feet for someone else. And I tell you, my heart is just filled today. My heart is just full. God is just doing some amazing things even throughout the entire week. You know, it's just, He's just amazing. And so at the end of the day, I'm just grateful that God is love. And as the woman of God was speaking, that we as a church, we are doing from a small and a large scale, as you were saying, Pastor Rebecca, we're doing things, you know, in that respect. Amen. So to God be all the glory. To God be all the glory.
Amen, Minister. Well, I thank God for those comments and statements on today.
Yeah.
Like you said, just a genuine concern about your fellow man. As you witnessed people doing a visual of the tragedy that happened in the city of Elizabeth, that's where our church is. For those of you who are around the United States, we are in Elizabeth, New Jersey, as far as a local church, and there was a tragedy. And like you said, putting religion down and coming together on one accord to be compassionate, and that is what we're talking about, the love for one another, the love for people. And also, as you said, I remember my mother latter days was in a nursing home, and so many people, Ms. Valiano, never got visitors or never got people to come and see about them. And that's when sometimes we as children have the opportunity to reciprocate some of the things that we received over the years. And my mother used to always say, you know, from diapers you come, from diapers you'll return.
Mm.
And sometimes they get to the place where they can't do for themselves. So I just thank God. I just thank God that sometimes we can help our parents and others in the time of need. So it's a wonderful, wonderful witness of, like you said, unconditional love outside of even the church walls, that love can be expressed in so many different ways.
Yes,
amen.
It can.
Just amen. And, you know, I want to just say, God bless you, Mr. Valerie Allen. I want to say, even in the chat room, God's remnant said we're going to pray and declare healing in her eyes. She put a prayer in the chat room, praying. I'm touching and agreeing with that prayer. Pray and declare healing in her eyes, that her sight be restored, and continue to stand on the word of God, that by his stripes we are healed. Healing is our right. It is the children's bread. And we declare healing over your mother. Lord, we just thank you. We praise
you,
hallelujah, for Minister Valerie Allen's mother, God. We
thank you,
Lord, that you are still a healer, Jehovah Rosa. Lord, we declare healing even as she goes through the process, God.
Yes,
we just
declare
divine, supernatural healing over her right now
in the name
of Jesus. We thank you for the restoration, God. We thank you, Lord, for touching the optic nerves, Lord.
Nerves
connecting, oh God, from the optic center to the brain, God. We thank you for total restoration, God.
Yes,
we thank you, Lord,
hallelujah,
that what makes this impossible, you say it's possible, Lord. So, Lord, begin to touch this woman's eyes, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, right now, by the stripes of Christ, he is healed.
Yes,
in
hallelujah.
Jesus' name, amen.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen. Praise
hallelujah.
The Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. So we just thank God that he is still a healer. Amen. He is still able. And what God says, what man says is impossible, God says is possible. And when I told Evangelist Page this morning, when man says no and it looks like it's impossible, we could get ready, because that's a prime spot right there. That's a prime place and time for God to move.
Miracle.
It's time for a miracle. So we thank God for
a
miracle. I don't know if it's pressure that she's dealing with in her eyes that won't come down, but we just I met a specialist on this last couple of weeks, Dr. Lama and Hackensack, and he is
that's my mom's doctor.
Is your mother's doctor?
Yes, ma'am. I know him well, and he just gave the report. He just gave the report and said that's why she saw an advance. It is about the pressure, Pastor Rebecca. Apologize for cutting you off. And that's what he stated. There's nothing more that he can do. She has gone through the surgeries and things, but she's to the degree now, to the point with the pressure. There's nothing more they can do because the glaucoma has gotten that advanced. But, yes, that's her doctor. She's been with Dr. Lama since he was at UMDMJ. He started out there.
Yes. And the pressure is, he has not, so far, the pressure has not come down.
Yes, yes.
Amen,
it's,
amen.
Where the, yeah, because the glaucoma, you know, is a different illness, if you will, that has elevated, which causes the elevation of the pressure in the eye. Yes.
Yes, yes. Okay, so we're still believing God for a miracle. Man has done his part. Man has his part, and now it's time for God to move. And, you know, we just thank God, and we also thank God. I don't want to gloss over the fact that you are there. Let me just say this. We're still touching and agreeing with you and believing for your mom's healing. So I just want to make that clear. And then I want to not gloss over the fact that you are there for your mother. That is such an exemplary display of love right there, that you are there caring for your mom. And, you know, and well, like you said, what an opportunity to show honor unto your mother, you know, on a daily basis. Like you said, not so much as on the one day of the year, not so much as on Mother's Day, what the world would call Mother's Day, but to show that honor. The Bible tells us to honor our mother and our father, and to be able to show that honor to your mother on a daily basis. Like you said, you told her that you will be there for her to the best of your ability. Can you imagine how much stress and pressure and anxiety you are alleviating for your mother?
Yes.
That
Amen.
Is a powerful testimony of
Amen.
God's love. So we just thank God for you.
sharing that testimony with us on today. What's
love the Lord?
Everything.
Well, thank you all for reciprocating back the love, because everything that you get, guys, to have me come on and speak in, as the remnant person that was in the chat room during the prayer, that is love right there. Look at God. We do reap what we sow. It's, look at this in a circle right here. Just keep bouncing right back. To God be all the glory. So I thank the Lord for love, the agape love, which is the unconditional love of the Father, that we have one another, that the world will see that we have this love for one another, that they will believe as well, too. So to God be all the glory. Thank you so much for allowing my voice to be heard today. God bless you. God bless you. And Pastor Rebecca, I'm praying that you will have an additional special day on tomorrow, an added day, that God will bless you exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever ask or think, for every sacrifice that you have made, every sacrifice and every promise shall come to pass. In Christ's sake, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I
amen.
Received
God bless
it. Thank
great
you
woman
so
of God.
Much.
Amen.
God bless you, and thanks for calling in today. We love and appreciate you. Thanks for calling in and letting your voice be heard. Amen. Wow. Wow, that is just so powerful. And, you know, I'm looking at the chat room, and even God's Remnant in the chat room, she gave a testimony in the chat room. Hallelujah. She said, I had someone pray over my eyes online 7 years ago, and I haven't used my reading glasses since then. I received the prayer in faith, knowing it was from God, my God. And you talk about how God can move. That's a testimony right there of his greatness, of his glory. And then she also said, thank the Lord for giving you, Minister Valerie Allen, thank the Lord for giving you the opportunity to give back to your mother. What a blessing and an honor it is to be able to give back to our parents. So we thank God for our callers on today. What's love got to do with this? So many are right now in a position of ministering to others, you know, and just displaying the love of God. You can't beat God-giving. You can't beat God-giving. And, you know, let me tell you something. I want to talk about forgiveness for a minute. So many of us have not had a good start, even where our parents are concerned.
That's right.
You know, a lot of you know my testimony. I talked about it earlier in the broadcast. I hated my father. I didn't like my mother that much. I was mad at my mother, and because I felt that she could have avoided a lot of the things that we went through as children. And I really had a problem with forgiveness. They said I was a mean black girl. They said that my sister Janice used to say, that's a mean black girl. She told that when Pastor Anthony met her, she said, you like her? That's a mean black girl. And I had so much anger on the inside of me. But God, through his precious Holy Spirit, began to deal with me about my anger. And he began to pull on my heartstrings and command me to forgive. He began to unction me through the Holy Ghost to forgive. And I wanted to hold on to my anger. I wanted to hold on to that unforgiveness. I wanted to make everybody that had hurt me pay for what they had done for me. But God, through his word, and the preached word kept coming, forgive. Forgive those who despitefully use you. Forgive those who hurt you. Forgive those who have hurt you, who have done wrong. And I kept hearing it being preached, and I was like obstinate. I was like, I am not forgiving. But God, in his mercy, helped me to forgive those people who had hurt me. He started with my mother, then he went on to my father, then he went on to the person who molested me. Then I had to start forgiving Pastor Anthony for the times that he hurt me. And then I had to keep on forgiving. I'm telling you, the key to genuine love is forgiveness. The key to genuine love is forgiveness. Remember, Jesus died so that we could be forgiven. Jesus came and lived and died for us so that we could be forgiven and that our relationship with God the Father could be restored. You got to hear us on today. Listen, forgiveness is the main ingredient when it comes to love. Listen, how many times, Peter said, must I forgive?
And Jesus said, seven times 70, over and over and over and over and over again. And it got to the point where God was like Job. He came to me like Job. Like, I'm like, why should I forgive them? They don't deserve to be forgiven. The person who molested me does not deserve to be forgiven. Pastor Anthony being mean to me, and you might not believe this, but Pastor Anthony has been mean to me, and I have been mean to him. But him being mean to me, and I remember sitting upstairs in my office crying and hearing the Holy Ghost tell me to forgive, and I remember saying to him, but what about me? What about what he did to me? Why should I forgive him when he has hurt me so much? And the Holy Spirit said to me, you have to forgive him. What about the times that you did God wrong? What about the things that you did? What about all of the ugly, nasty, mean things that you have done? What right do you have to hold unforgiveness against somebody when you have been forgiven by the Father of so many things? You love, real love is forgiveness. God loved you so much, Rebecca. Holy Spirit told me this. He said, God loved you so much that he forgave you. How can you not forgive those who have done you wrong? What right do you have not to forgive? And that thing messed me up, y'all. It really did, to the point where I was like, okay, uncle, I have to really, really repent. I had to say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being selfish. I'm sorry for being rebellious. I'm sorry for being disobedient. I forgive. And the moment I forgave my husband, the moment I forgave my father, the moment I forgave the person who molested me, the moment I forgave my mother, the moment I forgave, and as I continue to forgive, God's love begins to wash over me. His power fills me up, and God continues to walk with me in love and continues to heal my broken areas, to heal my broken heart. My heart has been so broken. My heart continues to be broken in different areas by different people, but God continues to send the same message. Love them, forgive them, pray for them, bless them. And I just thank God that he keeps giving this message to me over and over again. I don't know who that's for, but I believe that there's somebody listening today that needs to forgive. You need to forgive that person that you're mad at. You need to forgive that person who has hurt you. You need to forgive that person who walked away from you. You need to forgive that person. You need to forgive your mother, even as we're facing Mother's Day or tomorrow. Somebody's mad at their mother. I can feel that thing so strongly. And God is saying, you need to forgive your mother. You need to forgive your father. You need to forgive those people that have hurt you. You got to forgive them. Forgive them right now, right now. Obey God right now, right now. Forgive yourself. Oh, forgive yourself. Somebody's mad at you. You're mad at yourself. You don't think you deserve to be forgiven for all of the things that you've done. You have not even been able to receive God's forgiveness because you're holding unforgiveness against yourself. And God's saying today, no matter what it is, see, the devil's been lying to you. The devil's been lying to you, telling you that this thing was your fault, something that happened in your past, and the devil's been lying to you, trying to make you believe that that thing was your fault, trying to hold you hostage. And I want to help you get free today. We want to help you get free today and say forgive, and I'm saying to you today, forgive yourself. It was not your fault. Whatever it was, I want you to know it wasn't your fault. And even if it was, I want you to know that God has already forgiven you. So you have to forgive yourself. I feel a breakthrough right now. Somebody's getting a breakthrough right now because the devil has been holding you in bondage. And I'm here today to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Let it go. Let it go. God has already forgiven you. It's gone into the sea of forgetfulness. And God says, I've already forgotten it. Now I need you to forget it. I need you to let it go. Now that's love. God has already, while you were yet in your sins, God forgave you. It's no longer something that has power over your life. Let it go. Forgive. Forgive the people who have hurt you. Forgive yourself. Let it go and let God heal you.
Pastor, that's so powerful. We got a few more minutes in this broadcast, but we are celebrating Mother's Day weekend, and even as you talk, we know some situations where mothers are not speaking to daughters and sons, and sometimes a child is not speaking to that mother. And as you said, there's a degree of guilt. There's a level of shame. There's a degree of embarrassment sometimes when we have made mistakes. Are you out there? I can point the finger at myself. I made many mistakes as a father, as a parent, as a husband. I've made some errors in this thing called life. And, Pastor, it's so powerful that you said sometimes you got to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Now, I just want to, at this time, we must throw this disclaimer in here because sometimes it's either misheard or people are being misled. Pastor, we are never saying to a person, you must stay in relationship with someone that's abusive or someone that's mistreating you, someone that's totally disrespecting you or dishonoring you. That's never what we are saying when we say forgive.
Yeah.
When we say forgive, it's a supernatural occurrence, meaning you are making a decision to cleanse your heart to let this person be free from the offense or the wrong that they have done to you, whether it's purposely or unintentionally. You are deciding through a conscious effort to let go and let God.
Yes.
Now, sometimes that does not mean to remain in relationship with someone.
Right.
We must put that disclaimer here because if you was not here at the outset, my wife talked about why do women sometimes stay in abusive relationships?
Wow.
Why do young ladies and young men stay with young boys or young girls that's mistreating them and really not showing love, if you will? Why do we even have friends that totally always betray us on a regular basis? And we say, well, it's because we love them.
Right.
And sometimes that emotional love has nothing to do with the real definition of love as the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about that agape, unconditional love, but we're never to be fools.
Mm.
We're never to be stupid.
Wow.
We're never to be taken advantage of or to the place where people misuse our Christianity or the goodness of our hearts and walk over us like a doormat.
Right.
That's never what we teach or preach on this broadcast. But when you talk about forgiveness, I had to forgive my father.
Yeah.
I'll be 50 this year, and the first 30 years of my life, I was angry with him. Now, guess what? The last 20 years, I was not, because I did what you're talking about, forgive.
Yeah.
So now I can have a healthy marriage. Now I can be a good father to my own children.
Yeah.
Because that bitterness is not clouding my heart.
Yeah.
And that's simply what you're saying. You're thinking you're keeping the person in bondage, but you're keeping yourself in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
You're making yourself miserable.
Uh-huh.
People of God, do you understand how much energy it takes to stay mad? Do you know how much effort it takes to stay angry?
Yeah.
It takes a great deal of effort and time and energy to stay angry with someone. And the grace of God that he continues to extend to us, that's why I love the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
Give us this day our daily bread. And watch this, church. Forgive us our trespasses as what? As we forgive others who have trespassed against us. People of God, that is in the Lord's Prayer. That's one that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit thought was so important that they made it part of the Lord's Prayer.
Mm, wow.
So that's how much we need to practice this thing called forgiveness.
Mm.
And there's a spirit of offense that's in God's church. He's not happy about it, but I got a solution and a remedy for it. It's called forgiveness.
Woo-hoo! Wow.
It's called forgiveness.
Wow. That is just so powerful. Forgiveness. It takes too much energy to stay mad. And Pastor Emily, you said something. You said when you refuse to forgive, you are not hurting the other person.
No, never.
You are hurting yourself. You know, it's like drinking poison and thinking it's going to kill the other person. You know, it's really killing you. It's hurting you when you don't forgive. And even in the chat room, God's servant was talking about how unforgiveness is ugly. It's ugly, you know, and it really is. If it continues
Then comes the hardness of the heart. It's too heavy a yoke to carry. And then God's family also says that forgiveness comes with wisdom, understanding, knowledge. It is just so important. And let me just add to that. Forgiveness, as I don't know if Pastor Emily said it already, because I'm also chatting on our Facebook page with those people who are connected to us on Facebook. But let me say this about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice that we make. You have to choose to obey God in this area of forgiveness. And I also want to say this, it's supernatural.
Uh-huh.
It's a miracle. When you forgive somebody, it's a supernatural release when you forgive somebody, there's a supernatural release of healing that comes into your heart. So it's amazing how you can have so much anger, so much pain, so much hurt on the inside of you, so even guilt and shame. But when you make a decision to forgive the person that was affiliated with that anger, that pain, that hurt, that guilt and that shame, when you make a decision to forgive that person, there's a supernatural release of a balm of Gilead that comes to your heart that frees you from the captivity that you were in as a result of the unforgiveness. It's powerful. It's powerful the way that God moves in the area of forgiveness. So what's love got to do with it? Everything. We've come full circle talking about this area of love, and God loves you so much. I just want to say this to you that are listening. God loves you so much. He really wants you to be a partaker of his love, of that real love, of that agape love. Listen, you can't earn God's love. You know, so many times people will want to make you prove your love to them. They want to make you earn their love, but God does not make us earn his love.
Yeah.
He gives us his love freely. It's a free gift. There's nothing that you can do to make God stop loving you.
Say that again. Somebody needs to hear that.
There's nothing you can do. There's nothing that you can do that can stop God from loving you. Even the prodigal son, God gives us an example in the Bible of when the prodigal, and prodigal means wasteful, when the prodigal son wasted God's love and he wasted his father's money and he went out there and he had riotous living. He wasted his time with people that he should not have been hanging out with. And he went and he spent everything. And when he came to his senses, and came back home to his father dropped everything, ran out to meet him, threw himself on his neck, kissed him, put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, loved on him, threw a party, had a big celebration because he came home. And that's what God is saying to us on today. If we would just come back to him, that he will celebrate our coming back. No matter how far you've gone, God says there's room to come back. And it's at this point, even if you don't know God, that we want to invite you to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You know, we've been talking about love. We've been talking about God's love. We talked about the prodigal son coming back to Jesus. We talked about how God forgives us and how Jesus died for our forgiveness. God forbid if we leave here without making that salvation through the forgiveness that's been afforded to us through the blood of Jesus Christ available to you. We want to offer Jesus to you. As we talked about what love got to do with it, as we talked about what real love is, as we talked about God's unconditional love, we make it available to you on today. We offer Jesus to you.
That's
hallelujah. Today. Jesus came and lived and died so that you and I could have life, so that we would not perish, because we were on our way to hell. So that we would not perish in the eternal fires of hell, but so that we would have life and have that life right here on this earth more abundantly. Our eternity starts the moment that we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if you're in the chat room, if you're on the switchboard and you're not saved, and you want to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you can press 1 and we will pray with you. Amen. We offer Christ to you. Amen. Hallelujah. We offer Christ to you. If you could say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. I want him to walk with me as my personal Lord and Savior. For those of you listening, listening to the archives, you can't press 1, but you can pray this prayer with us. And we're going to pray this prayer of salvation. Father God, I come to you a sinner. I'm not saved. I have not had this experience that the pastor is talking about. But today, I've heard the gospel. And I declare today that I believe in my heart that Jesus, your son, came to this earth, lived, was crucified, died, was buried, and got up for my sins so that I could be forgiven and reconciled to you. I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins. Help me to walk upright. Help me to walk without sin with you. I declare today that I am forgiven and that I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If that's you, we thank God for you. You can connect with us on our Facebook page, Woman to Man, or with me on Facebook, Pastor Rebecca Simmons, or send me an email to powerintheword1@yahoo.com. We would love to get you some information about how to walk with Christ, about your new walk with Christ, and even help you find a church, amen, home. You need a pastor. You need a church home. You need to be discipled in the things of God, and we would love to be a part of that. We would love to help you find someplace near you where you can receive the guidance that you need in your walk with God. Amen. Area code 551. God bless you. Amen. Your mic is open. You're on the air.
Hello. Yes, this is Pastor Dingle.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor Dingle. God bless you, the author of the Small Church Held Hostage. Amen. God bless you. We thank God for you. And I know I didn't say your name or your book right, but God bless you for calling in today.
Okay. Yes, I briefly was able to listen to your show and on What's Love Have to Do with It. And one thing that I have discovered when it comes down to love, and that quite often people don't know how to love themselves, so that's why it's hard for them to show love to others. You know,
yeah.
So once there's a knowledge of how to properly love yourself, I believe there was a statement that the late Dr. King made, and he said that in order to love others adequately, you have to love yourself properly.
Wow. Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it comes down to a lot of teaching of what love is, yeah, because we're under the impression that when we take care of ourselves, when we go do things for ourselves, if it feels good to us, that means it's good for us, and that's not necessarily the case. And because of that, because we have a misunderstanding, you know, we think that we can, as long as we're doing things that we believe satisfy people, we're showing them love. And sometimes the worst thing you can do for a person is, because love doesn't mean that I have to deal with everything that you do. I support you, you know, to try to help you to get in an area that's going to be better for you.
Yes, that's a powerful point, Pastor Dingle, that you made. Powerful point. We just had a slight interruption. Amen. But that's a powerful point that you make, that we have to be able to love ourselves. And we talked about that earlier, too, and wrapping it up in the scripture, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's so important in order to be able to adequately love yourself. And I love the quote you gave us by Dr. King, powerful.
Yes.
Amen.
Yep. I enjoyed what I was able to catch of the program. You know, I was blessed by it. You know, I was in Crossroads. It just came out of Crossroads, a Bible bookstore, and I actually had the phone on while I was in the store. You know, but I had it down low, but I was able to still pick up a few things.
Amen. Well, we're looking forward to having you as our guest on the broadcast in the next month. So we just thank God for you. I did finish your book, powerful book. On this last minute, Pastor Dingell, just give us the name of your book again, because I know everybody heard you on last week when you were on the broadcast.
Yes, the name of the book is The Church Held Hostage, The Plight of the Small Local Church.
Amen. Amen. The church held hostage, the plight of the small local church. Listen, I want to recommend this book to you, especially if you are a member of a church. Pastor Dingell has a mission to have every Christian read this book, not just pastors, not just leaders, but every Christian, so that you can know what's going on in the church. Amen. So, Pastor Dingell, we only have a minute left. I just thank God for you. My husband and I thank God for you, and we will connect, because I have been blessed by your book, and I look forward
bless
to having you.
You
be my guest.
God bless you. I look forward
Amen.
To it. Okay, and I look forward to meeting your husband.
Amen, sir. I look forward to meeting you. Heard a lot of good things about you, and I did hear you briefly on the broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you in person. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. Well, we're going to close out before sometimes they sign us off prematurely. But, again, wishing every mother just a wonderful day on tomorrow, where we do celebrate mothers. Just excited about my wife, who is the mother of my children, and thank God for her. And every mother out there, just have a great Mother's Day on tomorrow. Wonderful church service on tomorrow. And have a great day today.
Amen. We're going to play Falling in Love with Jesus and remind you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Remember that God loves you, and so do we. God bless you. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. We love you. Amen. Have a blessed day on tomorrow. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I ever done. Never dead, connected. In his arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Oh, can you sing with me? Falling in love with Jesus. there's no place.